Blog Talk Radio.
So this is Jermaine Edwards. Yeah. Listen, in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Aim for the sky, reach the mountain, keep climbing. Stop saying you can't, oh, you know you never tried it. Don't waste your energy unless you see the benefits. Negative thoughts, pessimist calls. I'm an optimist rising, though sometimes I fall. I'ma keep moving even if I have to crawl. Running with a purpose, and I know I have to run far.
Principles work everywhere, anytime. Failures get life when success is denied. Why no? Every question deserves a reply. And my life is submitted to the highest of high. I got my eyes on the prize. I won't wait and lie. Fight for my faith in a line. Here is a reason why.
Because of the price you pay.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host this evening, and tonight we have Pastor Steve Lee, and he's coming with part two of his teaching titled Fear Not. So I encourage you out there, please, if you're listening, grab pen and paper, get ready to take some notes as we get ready to turn the mic over to Pastor Steve Lee. Pastor Lee, you have the mic.
Amen. Thank you again, Brother Mike. Well, beloved, it's a great time to fellowship in the Word. So we'll just get started and pray and allow God to do what only God can do. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your Word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your Spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your Word, your Spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living Word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds, as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives, and cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men, as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Beloved, fear is one of those things that is something that we have to work on consistently. It's interesting to me that the phrase "fear not" appears 63 times in every book of the Bible. There are over 732 references to fear in the Bible. So that says to me that minimally two times a day, I should be able to address fear and straighten my walk out with God. Because when I fear, I'm not moving in the right direction. When God says fear not, it's not a suggestion, it's a directive. And we want to revisit some of the things that were stated, because I said last time that fear is the exact opposite of the Spirit of God. It will always take you in a direction away from the presence of God. And most of the time when we ask the question, what do you think the opposite of love is? And most of us would say the opposite of love is hate. No, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. The absence of love can lead you to hate. Hate is one of the manifestations of fear. But love casts out fear, and love never fails. So then love, you can clearly see. We'll just turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 21. But I want to just look at verse 17. And then we'll go back and kind of deal with this. Verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth cannot be made perfect in love." It's an interesting thing to me that he specifies what we should be. He says how he wants us to function in this life. Just before this, he said in verse 10, he says that herein is love. So he's going to delineate, define, codify what love should look like in our life. And he says that if you have fear, you cannot be made perfect in love. Verse 12 says that, well, I'll just read this again. Verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love God, if we love one another, God dwells in us. And this is how his love is perfected." Okay, he's telling us how to get to the place where the perfect love casts out fear. You know, we have all kind of racial challenges today. And some of the reasons why we have these challenges is because we don't understand that love is the answer. Because when love flows, he just said here, in order to be made perfect in love, the first requirement is that I have to love one another. I have to love the people around me. And if I do that, then love can be perfected. Okay? Verse 12, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God is in the middle of that. God dwells in us. And because he dwells in us through our love, then his love is perfected in us." I don't know how you can think that you're going to be at odds with someone and expect that you're going to be perfected in love. You might become proficient in. You might become proficient in things. God did not ask us here to be proficient. He put in front of us perfection. Okay? Just kind of look at that. Sometimes we would rather stop halfway through a thing and be content with wherever we find ourselves. Halfway, quarter of the way, three quarters of the way. No, he wants us to have love that is perfected. Okay? So then if I have aught against any, I mean, just, you know, again, these words are in red in your Bible, in Mark chapter 11, that if I pray and I don't have forgiveness flowing, my non-flowing forgiveness just cut off my prayer life. Jesus said this, if you have aught against any, as you stand praying, forgive. Mark 11, have the faith of God, 22 and following. Have the God kind of faith. For if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it would obey you. And as you stand praying, forgive, verse 26. As you stand praying. Okay, come on. I like to frame these things up for you so that you can then understand how to flow. Notice he didn't say, after you got through praying, go back then and say, okay, good, everything's going to work in my life. No, he said, as you stand praying or at the exact same time you pray, please know this, God can't hear you if you don't forgive. And if you don't forgive, that's a manifestation of love not working, a deficit of love in your life, if you would. Okay? Because look at the things that he said here. He said, so that we get it and understand it. See, these things are non-negotiable, beloved. I don't know why we go to the Bible and think that the Bible is like a golden corral where it's a la carte. We can pick what we want. We can choose what we like. No, this is the meal. Okay, the way we understand it, that when you have enemies, Psalms 20, this is good, sir. When you have enemies, Psalms 23 tells us that in the presence of your enemies, God prepares a table before you. Okay? So then it's not you picking and choosing what meals you want to have. God set the table before you. He expects you, requires you to choose love every time. Amen. You cannot choose you cannot choose grace and abandon love. You cannot choose faith and abandon love. Just so that you get it, beloved, so that you understand. He's expecting love, looking for love. He says your faith works by love. So if you don't choose love, you don't choose forgiveness, you just didn't choose faith. You just gave up on grace. Okay? Like I say, I don't know how we came to this concept where, okay, I can do this but not that. No, you have to do all that's required for flow. I am not talking about all that's required for the law. Okay? God is asking us to flow. We're supposed to live by the Spirit. And it says Jesus told us that when the Holy Ghost has come, out of our bellies will flow. Okay? He's interested in us having the flow, beloved. And without the flow, there is no way for you to... Okay, that's good, sir. Without the flow, there is no way for you to have the motion necessary for victory. Beloved, victory does not happen in isolation. Victory happens with motion or with growth. Amen. Okay, just so that you can kind of hear these things and then begin to understand why he's requiring love to be there, why fear cannot be the thing that you default to. So you have to gravitate toward love because love is active. Love is an action word. It has been said, love isn't love until you give it away. Love has to be in motion. Okay, you can't, y'all can write this one down. You can't store up love for a better time. You know, someone hurts you, offends you, and so then you're going to say, I will love later. You can't store up love for a later time. Love has to be given. It is an action word. See, and if you choose not to love, if you refuse to forgive, then you just stopped your motion. You just stopped your flow. All right, I would like to ask you to do me something. I use this analogy. I would like for each one of you right now to take your hand and ball it up as tight as you possibly can. I mean, squeeze everything that you can with that hand. Tight, tight, tight. I mean, I just want you to hold and squeeze that hand, looking at that hand, and I'm going to ask you some questions. Do not let it go. Hold it tightly. And I want to ask you some questions about this tightly closed hand. I will ask you now, what can you get in to that frozen hand, that tightly fisted hand? Keep it tight. See, this is when you choose not to love, you cut off the flow. This is a good example of how life has been happening for us as we choose not to forgive. Please, don't let it go. Hold it. Keep squeezing it. Okay, now I'm asking the first question, what can you get into that hand? The second question is, what can you get out of that hand? You cannot, that what's on the inside cannot benefit you because flow has not happened anymore. Now you can release your hand. Notice how that feels, just how it feels. It feels good. Why? Because flow was allowed to happen again. Now the things on the inside can be utilized by you. All of the stuff that God has for you, he put in your heart. Come on, beloved. I want you to see this. He, when he came in, everything that you needed, you are complete in him, he said. That's Colossians chapter 3:10. You are complete in him. So everything that you need is there. But what you do is you hold on to what you think you like, you want to use. And then you say, nobody's going to hurt me. Nobody's going to, all of these things that cause you to withdraw, to make a tightly clenched fist. And then because you have that tightly clenched fist, there is nothing, the supply that you need cannot flow. Love isn't love until you give it away. Therefore, you have to have an open heart. You have to have an open access by action of giving. Okay? You can always remember that. So if you're getting mad and you're getting upset and you take your life to a clenched position, I will not forgive. I can't let them, okay, all of those things, that is fear causing you to withdraw, to then have to force you to live by whatever is on the inside. You can't get fresh, because whatever you took in there is all that you have to survive. Okay, I just want you to know that. See, you burn up the supply on the inside. You can understand that. If you took one breath and held it, your life becomes in question. It becomes in peril. Why? Because you cannot live off of that which you've already taken in for a long period of time. You're going to have to exchange it for something new, for another opportunity to receive. You're going to have to do that. When you have fear, you close the flow of God. Okay? And that's not how he wants you to live. He says very clearly that love can only work, can only be perfected in us when we love one another. Okay? Herein is our love made perfect. And notice what happens, that we will then have boldness in the day of judgment. because as he is, so are we in this world. This is what I stopped on last time. That's why I wanted to get back here. We'll read the rest of it, and I want you to go back and see what happens here. Because he fear has torment, and he that feareth cannot be made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? I want you to see the torment that fear brings. The first thing that we see as a torment is we leave our love. Because he's already said, this is the way love is perfected. He can't perfect something that's not there. He did not say, this is how love is gained. He said, this is how love is perfected. This is the process by which I can work on the love I've already given you. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. Now, since it's there in complete manifestation, what God would want to do is he would want to perfect it, work on it. Okay? But we don't want him to work on it. So we say, no, I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to love. So we just left off the love that we need. Notice what else he says. When we go into this fear, and we can tell that the fear is ruling our lives because he says fear has torment. The first step that you can see is you now experience the absence of love. And I mean that in the comprehension of love. He didn't take his love from you. He's not an Indian giver. Okay? He says things like this. Once he puts you in his hand, no man is able to take you out of his hand. He's not going to give up on you. But you will feel like, have sensations of, God don't love me. And because of that, now what you're doing is you are having torment because you are choosing fear rather than love. Okay, just so that you can see how this thing works. So the first thing that you should know, God, that's just good, y'all. I mean, I see that so plainly, that the first thing you will notice is that you choose to give up love. The requirement of forgiveness. I found this to be so true, that when you choose to forgive, not to forgive somebody, it doesn't hurt them, it hurts you. Yeah. There was I'll tell y'all this story, and y'all can please allow me to stay saved. I've already come through this. I've already gotten victory over this thing. Okay, I'm walking in love now. But there was a time that I was offended. I worked at a church, okay? And so I still do it. And so it's another church now, but my employment, my livelihood came from church and church members, all right? And so one of the church members was a supervisor to me. It was a second-tier supervisor, but still a supervisor. And so he did some things that I did not like, perceive as good for me. So then I became upset with him. And I became upset day by day, and it grew more and more to the point where I had dreams at night, and the dreams that I had is that I would kill this person. And these dreams got so frequent, it was every night I would dream that I would kill this person. And then one night it got so bad that after I killed him, I went to his funeral and shot him in the casket. Now, you know, something got to be really sick with you when you already killed the man and you go to the casket and shoot the dead man. Now, the dead man can't hurt me. The dead man cannot offend me. That means that I kept the offense alive when the man was dead. He was not hurting because I was mad at him. I was hurting. I couldn't sleep. I had bad experiences when I did go to sleep, all because I held on to offense. And when I shot the person in the casket, I woke up. I said, okay, God, this don't make sense. Help me. This is sick. Help me. And then God said, well, I can't help you until you release him. You are connected to the offense, and the offense is ruling. Let not sin have dominion over you. And so I said, okay, God, I begin to understand the scripture. I let him go. All of the stuff that I thought he did, I say, it don't matter. I'm going on. And when I did that, not only was I better, but I also got to the place where I was able to see the end of that trial because he went on to another job. But see, I couldn't get anything working. I cut off the flow of my future because I chose to be in torment by fear. He's hurting me. I left my love. Notice what he said here. He says that I'm supposed to have boldness. So when I allow fear, I lose my boldness. I lose boldness. First, one of the first places I'm going to lose boldness is in my prayer life. Okay? Because Jesus told us, again, if you're going to pray, as you stand praying, forgive. If you don't, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. So since I know God didn't forgive me, I just abandoned my boldness, didn't I? So now I'm praying iffy prayers. I'm praying wishy prayers. Instead of praying in confidence, knowing that whatever I ask, I shall receive. See, so the devil has given me torment instead of victory. I've exchanged what God has given into that which is twisted. That's what wicked, the word wicked means, twisted. So then I give up my love. I give up my action. That's good, sir. I give up my action or my flow. Remember, love has to be given. It's an action word. I give up my motion or my flow. And not only that, I lose my boldness. I am being routinely backed into a corner, isolated. Okay. That's not what we want to do, beloved. We want to be able to enjoy the thing that God has for us every single day, okay? So we lose our boldness. Notice what else he said. He said, as he is, so are we. So I just lost my identity, didn't I? All of this happens because I feared. And he that fears cannot be made perfect in love. Okay? And herein is how our love is made perfect, that I would have boldness. Because as he is, so are we. So now I've lost my identity or my connection in God. Because in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. I lost my connection in God. Okay? So, I mean, we just got to look at this and understand, is it worth that, beloved? That would be the question that I would have to ask you. Is it worth that? Is you living in torment, does it add up equally to the love that was already there? Remember, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You already have this love. It's been shed abroad in your heart. So then the devil is stealing it from you and your ability to utilize it. You lose your love. You lose your boldness. You lose your identity or your connection in God. And you lose your wholeness, your perfect alignment with God. Now that's the one. The first one was in God. The second one is with God. Jesus told us that there are two things. One is in him and one is with him. With God, all things are possible. So I just entered, because I chose fear and torment, I just entered into impossibility. because I'm no longer with God. See, I lose my wholeness. I lose the perfection that he created me in. I no longer choose to use it. So now I am operating contrary to God. I am not any longer with God. So I left the arena of all things being possible, and I entered in the position where I dwell in impossibility. And if I dwell in impossibility, I will also dwell in frustration. I will dwell in fatigue. Why? Because the thing works, and I have no way to make it work. I am of all men most miserable. I am hopeless. Hopeless. That means I am without hope. I am hopeless. It has been taken away from me. Okay? So we need to look at this and think of this. All right? This is what happens when we choose to fear. We choose to function in fear. We choose to allow fear to have the authority, the upper hand, if you will. We leave our love. We lose our boldness. We lose our identity, connection in God. We give up our wholeness, our perfection, our alignment with God. Watch this. We get out of shape. Because if I'm supposed to look like him, and I don't look like him, I'm out of shape. I become diminished in my role, my ability, because when I walk as a man, okay, this is what it tells us to do in Ephesians chapter 6. It says that we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. I don't have to then function as a man any longer, because when my enemy sees me in that armor, all he knows is that's the same armor God has. So then the devil wouldn't know if that's me or God in that armor, because I have the whole armor of God. He did not tell us, beloved, take one part of the armor. He specifically told us to put on the whole armor. So then one of the things that are delineated in the armor of God is the gospel of peace. We're supposed to have that on our shoes. We're supposed to have on the breastplate of righteousness. If I have on the breastplate of righteousness, I would have to then have confidence, wouldn't I? But if I don't have on the right standing with God, then I'm not dressed in the whole armor. And then the enemy knows I ain't got to worry about them. They are going to take care of themselves. Because they can't live, because life is in the Word, and the Word commands that they forgive. This is why we don't fear, brother. Okay? And you can tell if you are in fear, because these things, you stop functioning in your love, your boldness, your identity, your connection in God, your wholeness, alignment with God. You get out of shape, and that's what happens when you get all frustrated. People say you are bent, out of shape. You become transformed. Come on, y'all. He told us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed in our mind. But here we are looking like the world. We are looking just like the thing that's defeating us, that's challenging us. See, we've got to get to the place where we understand that God is on our side, and he's trying to get us to follow the pattern that he's established, and that pattern is love. God doesn't have love, beloved. He is love, and he wants to perfect that love in us. And then watch this. We leave our love, we lose our boldness, we lose our identity or connection in God. We give up our wholeness and alignment with God. We get out of shape, and watch this. This was the one that got me. It says that we become a liar. Watch this. Verse 20. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. He didn't say he told a lie. He said he is a lie. Your actions are who you are. Notice that. This went from a thought to what you now are. You are a liar. Wow. And you know that no liar will have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. See? So then you're going to have to know that if, in fact, you're going to be victorious, then you're going to have to give up fear and all of the things that fear torments you with. Okay? You start having evil communications in your heart. It lives there. It resides there. It didn't say lies visit you. It says you are a liar. So then your lie now becomes your life. I mean, just Selah. Think about that. Your lies now become your life. That's why God tells us to stay away from fear. He addresses it every time, all of the time. Because if you allow fear into your life, it's going to have torment. And you can see the torment in these things. Now, watch this. If any man say he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? He just told you that now you're going to be blind in two dimensions. Because you can't love your brother who you see. And then you don't think you see God whom you not see. So then since you think you and God is tight, you and God is all right, see, and that's a blindness. And now you're going to live from that, through that, by that blindness. Remember what Jesus said about blind people. Spiritually blind people. That all spiritually blind people can do is find their way to a ditch. Okay? That's all blind people can do. They end up in a ditch. Or let's try it this way. They end up going through trial after trial after trial because they are blind in two dimensions. They don't love who they should love, who they can see. They became, chose to be blind there, and then they lie about the one they say they see. Because he said, if you don't do this one, if you're blind in this area, you are guaranteed blind in the other area. Verse 12 said it. No man has seen God at any time, if we love. Then God's there, and now love can be perfected. So then if I don't love my brother, I am blind. I just ask you, is it worth it, beloved? See? When God says to us, fear not, and we rebel, it puts us right in the enemy's grasp. Lies, deception, guilt, condemnation will then work, and they all work under the umbrella of confusion. Turn to James chapter 3, verse 16. Very familiar scripture that says to you, where envy and strife is, what else is there? There is confusion, and notice this, every evil work. See, the devil brings lies to you so that you live in confusion. And when you choose confusion as your inheritance, the devil says, now I can get not some stuff, I can get every evil work. Okay, just as a question, y'all. If confusion comes around and every evil work is now available to the devil to use against me, I'm going to be tired because now I have to fight every evil work. See, if I would walk in love and walk in faith, the Bible says then that my faith works for me. See? But if I'm going to operate in unforgiveness and I'm going to operate in every evil work, I can't get to faith because I'm too busy fighting evil works. He tells me to fight the good fight of faith. He did not tell me to have to fight evil works. All I got to do to the devil is resist him, he'll flee. But when I'm in cahoots with him, in my heart, because I've chosen to function in fear, I can't tell him to go nowhere. I am a partner with him. I have rebelled against God because God told me, fear not. Don't operate from the position of they hurt me and I got to get them back. Don't you remember that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? I will repay. Don't you remember that he said that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and that every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and my righteousness, their righteousness is of him. See, we've got to be sold out to this. This is not a part-time thing. We can't allow fear to lead if we're going to be led by love. Fear not. Okay? We've got to do this. When confusion is in play, ignorance will dominate. Truth is abandoned, and bondage is inevitable. The devil gets these things to line up because confusion sets up things that are known about and things that are not known about. Intentional, unintentional, seen and unseen, because I chose to play with confusion. I chose to allow fear to rule. See, and I kind of said this, I just want to make sure that you understand that I'm not talking about works here, okay? I'm talking about a position of heart out of the Word of God. If you don't like to be in the presence of a person, that does not give you the right to hate the person, to not love them. In fact, Romans says it very clearly, chapter 8, it says you owe the man love, and if you don't pay that debt, you are a thief. He says, owe no man anything but to love him. So that tells me that I owe the man love. If I don't pay the man love, the debt of forgiveness, the debt of grace, if I don't pay that debt, I am a thief and a robber. Okay? See, just because I don't want to does not mean I shouldn't find a way to. Don't you just let's get through it. We at this Easter Advent here. It says about the Jesus said out of his own mouth that he didn't want to do the cross thing. He wanted to find another way. But then he said, nevertheless, not the thing I like, not the thing I want, but your will be done. Because if I don't do your will, then they can't get saved. They can't have fellowship with you. And this is the cause that I was sent. For this cause was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. See? He was sent here to destroy what the devil is doing. If he was sent here to destroy what the devil is doing, that means he cannot participate in what the devil is doing. He cannot operate in fear and allow love to work. Love only works when fear is gone. Herein is love. That if we love the brethren, love the one another, then this love can be made perfect, can be seen in its greatest. See, so beloved, we can no longer live in fear of releasing the love, because love never fails. Okay? Your works don't qualify you for heaven. They only prepare you for rewards. Your entrance to heaven is sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Your works have what I refer to as a repentance clause attached to them. And they will allow you to get to God, and God can restore, refresh, renew, and rebuild if we confess our sins. You know, I was hearing that this week and wondering how it is that we change the words. It says, if we sin, we have an advocate. It didn't say when we sin. I know we're not perfect. I get that. But we got to stop making excuses. We've got to get better at this. We've got to get to the point where we allow faith to work, faith to come alive. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, not our excuses. We're going to have to grow up in him. See, but we go, well, if I sin, I got an advocate. Oh, no. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and goes, no. See, you're using that as an escape clause. We need to get past that, way past that. Because he said he's looking for love that is perfected. Love is required. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So that I can no longer make excuses. If I love him, I cannot make excuses. Come on, let's not rewrite the Bible. He didn't say, if you love me, make excuses for what you did wrong. He said, if you love me, do what I said. See? But we'll keep trying to enter into this sloppy agape. What we have to do, beloved, is to say, you know what? This is the only way I can do this. I'm going to walk in integrity. I'm going to allow the love of God that is shed abroad in my heart to be perfected, to be alive. I'm going to give it when it's necessary. I'm not going to live in torment. Is the word true? Did he mean forgive? That's living in torment, beloved. If he wrote it down, then that's what he meant. He wasn't joking. It's signed and sealed in blood. It is protected and carried out by the Spirit. Those are the two witnesses that are ever present in our life. The blood and the Spirit. We've got to get to the place, beloved, that we walk in that. When we have allowed fear or confusion to get in, that tells me that we've been listening at the wrong author. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says that God is not the author of confusion. So then, if I'm reading the book of confusion, and what tells me that I'm reading the book of confusion? That I leave my love, I lose my boldness, I lose my identity of connection in God, I give up on my wholeness of perfect alignment with God, I get out of shape, I become a liar, and I become one that lives in blind in two dimensions. That tells me I'm living in confusion. That sounds like every evil works to me. And God did not author that. He's not the author of confusion. He doesn't want you to have to go through those things. He wants you to overcome. Come on. God is not beloved. Beloved. Wow. God is not interested in you going through things. He rather would have you to go over things. You are an overcomer, more than a conqueror. He does not want you trudging through stuff of life. He wants you to overcome so that you can then be an example, be a witness, have a testimony of faith alive in the earth. Because when the Son of God comes back, he's going to be looking for faith in the earth. He's going to be looking for those that overcome. He's not going to be looking, come on now, come on. He's not going to be looking for those that are going through. He's going to be looking for those that overcome. Amen. According to Revelation 19, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, word of my testimony. They overcame. It did not say they're going through. Let's do ourselves a favor and stop rewriting the Bible to fit our circumstances. Let's just let the word be true and every man be a liar. Let's just stop rewriting the Bible. Well, I didn't know how. All that means, if I can understand it, is that you did not dig deep enough. That tells me that you would rather be a surface Christian. Because if I did, this is what Jesus said. He said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, seek, and you shall find. Ask, and you shall receive. So then if you tell me it's not working, that tells me you are not a Christian that's serious. You are trying to be a surface Christian. When it looks good, I'll do what the word says. When it feels good, I'll try to do what the word says. No, that's not the one that's blessed. The man that's blessed is a doer of the word. He's blessed in all his deeds. See? So I'm just going to have to believe that the word is the word. That it's settled. It's not trying to be settled. The word is forever settled in the heavens. His word is truth from the beginning. The entrance of his word giveth life. It gives understanding to the simple. So if you don't know how a thing works, all that says to me is that you have not dug deep. You have not become committed yet. You have not decided to study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God, needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's all you're saying. And actually, you're not saying that to me. You're actually having this conversation in the spirit, and the devil hears it, and he comes to seek those he can divide. He's looking for somebody that's uncommitted. No, I'm not trying to condemn you if you didn't know how to do it. I'm saying don't give up. Don't cave in. Don't quit. You keep on until you win, because you're guaranteed. Knock, it'll be open. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. It does not a maybe. Beloved, there is not a maybe connected to any of those. Because all of the promises of God are yes and amen. There's no maybe attached to that, beloved. See? So then, if you know that, then you have to function from that position. You have to begin to walk after him day by day. Because this is the image that he made you in. He did not make you in the image of failure. He did not make you in the image of question and doubt. He did not make you in the image of unworthy. He made you in his image after his likeness. And then he asks you, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice he didn't even leave it to your preacher. Glory to God. He didn't leave that invitation contingent upon me. He said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Whether I'm right or wrong, doesn't even matter. Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. And the mind that was in Christ Jesus was a made-up mind that even when it looked like defeat, he knew that the promise, was sure. He said this. He said, no man can take my life from me. I lay my life down, and I pick it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Glory to God. And he wasn't questioning. He was just saying, okay, good. I didn't want to go there, but I know what the promise says. He did exactly what he's asking us to do. I don't know if I can forgive. No, I don't have a choice. Forgiveness is required because my prayer life is at stake. Because if I don't forgive, my Father will not hear me. So I need to pray. But forgive, I like to pray. I need to pray. I need to have an open heaven above me. I need access to God in his presence. So that I don't have a choice. Forgiveness is automatic. It doesn't matter what level of office, I've got to forgive because I need an open heaven. I need for him to have favor my way. I need for him to pour out. He said, I can partake of the fullness of grace. I need to be able to get that. I don't need sloppy agape, little grace. I need the fullness of grace in my life. So because of that, there is no question. I have to forgive. I have to arrest fear that would cause me to lose my love, leave my love, lose my boldness, lose my identity, give up on my wholeness, become bent out of shape, become a liar and blind into God. I can't have that. Because when I function in those tenets of life, I'm throwing away my victory, and I will not hear, well done. At best, if I do those things, I can hear would be half done. And if, in fact, wow, that's just way off. I'm just hearing it the way this that it is. If I hear the words half done, that tells me I'm about to go back in the oven. And you do know that there is a oven prepared for those that don't enter into the kingdom of heaven. When they get to the judgment seat, he'll say, okay, all you liars, you abominable, all of y'all are going to have your place in the lake of fire. In other words, y'all are going to have to get back in the oven because it's half done. I don't want that for my future. My future is to be lived in the presence of God, where joy is full. That's my future. That's the promise that I hold on to. And so since I hold on to that promise, if I have this as my desire, then I cleanse myself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When I have these promises, dearly beloved, I allow him to finish the work that he started. I don't quit just because I'm tired. Because he told me that if I submit to him, I won't faint. They that wait or minister upon the Lord, unto the Lord, they will not be weary. They will walk and not faint. They will run and not be weary. They will mount up. My future is in the heavens. It's an upward future. It's not a going through future. I'm going to go up. And as I go up and go over the situation, then I'm bringing joy to my Father. He's not interested in me going through. Otherwise, he would have not made me sit together in heavenly places far above all principalities, power, and might. Beloved, I'm asking you to abandon fear. Appropriate love so that your faith will work and you can live by faith in his presence. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you. We just bless you for your word, Father, a word that is true and that is settled in the heavens. And now we allow that same word to be settled in us. We will not draw back like those that have called us to perdition. But, Father, we will continue because you said the just live by faith. And if any man draw back, your soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we will not cast away our confidence, but we know that it has great recompense of reward, Father. Thank you that we choose to endure to the end. And the end of the thing is not a day. The end of the thing is a decision that we will not give up, cave in, or quit. We have a sure word of prophecy, and we do well that we take heed unto that word as the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for sending us such a word. Thank you, Father, for giving us a word that is able to build us up and give us an inheritance. Thank you for that. We give you praise, honor, and glory for it. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. All right, folks, let's get ready. We're going to go ahead and open up lines and get commentary on tonight's teaching. Let's start with area code 281. 281, you have the mic.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We appreciate you being in the room. Amen. Area code 281. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. Area code 770. 770.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Area code 770. You have the mic. Amen. Again, we just thank you for being in the room and allowing your presence to soak in the goodness of the Lord in this time. Hallelujah.
All right, area code 845.
Amen, brothers, and God bless you, brothers. I just want to say, awesome teaching, Brother Steve, and felt like it was a reproof to me. A little bit of, well, I don't know if it was like a chastening, but maybe just something to kind of motivate me, push me. But I felt like it was good and it was definitely needed. So I thank God. I mean, and everything gives thanks and pray and everything. So I just thank Jesus. You know, I got a smile. Just
yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen. In everything, give thanks. That is good. I mean, the way out of a thing has just been given to you because thanksgiving moves you every time.
All right.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, that does appear to be the end of our broadcast for tonight. Hold on. We got one more.
All right.
Area code 111.
Amen.
All right, area code 111 has dropped. All right, folks.
Okay.
Pastor Steve, anything else that you would like to say before we close?
No, just everybody, just let's become bolder in the Lord, and what that's going to require is that's going to require more and more love. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. Thank you for tuning in tonight to Live Deliverance here on Blog Talk Radio. Get ready for some more powerful teachings coming this week as we get ready to proceed further along with the teachings and the sponsorings by Reverend D.W. Dalton and his fellowship and the pastors that are along with him. We'd like to thank each and everyone out there listening for your dedication. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.